Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Jeremy, we did make it back for another week.
Hooray!
Yay! Just by the skin of our teeth, as your child was yelling, my child was yelling, but we've carved out this time, and I'm going to cross my fingers that we actually make it to the end of this episode.
This may be a short one.
Yes. Dude, how many times? Great, now we're definitely going for an hour. Don't don't say those sorts of things.
I didn't say this is gonna be a short one. Which that is the death.
Yes, the kiss of death is what that is, yeah. on any episode. With a baby, there's not as much time for the researching as I would like, but fortunately there was some low hanging fruit to be had. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was possibly my dream job at Disney. And I've had a couple of those, right? So, you know, working on the Haunted Mansion, working at mm-hmm. Tower of Terror, working guest relations, those have all been dream jobby jobs, I guess. But now, apparently, Disney is testing a personal shopper service, according to Chip and Co. And that sounds like an even dreamier dream job.
So... does this sound like something you would want to use as a guest?
Oh, okay.
Or just as something you would want? So let's, okay. So
let's,
it's
let's
your dream job.
Let's discuss the current iteration. The current iteration of it is you show up at Mickey's of Hollywood and you tell this person what you're looking for and they find it for you. You tell them who you're shopping for. They make recommendations, which... you know what? Brad has never had a personal shopper, so maybe this... so for those of you who always use a personal shopper, you're going, of course that's how a personal shopper... I don't know these things. This is astounding to me that they can then give you the recommendations, and then they will either go with you to go get those items or go for you to get those items and then just call you once all of your shopping is done. And the most important part of this that makes this something Brad... would absolutely do, at least for some items. Well, actually, you know what? I would definitely do it to get recommendations because I think that would be really helpful. Somebody who knows everything about where all the stuff is. It's free right now. Now, it's only for 3 days, and I don't think Jeremy, you've seen Disney lately, right? The pay for the parking and pay yeah. for the... I don't think this is going to stay free.
Absolutely not.
But
absolutely not.
But for the days that they are testing this, I would 100% use it.
So tell me why this is a dream job as a cast member.
I feel like this is a dream job as a cast member because you're getting to help people find stuff and they want these things and you get to just to work with them, right? It's very guest facing, which I like. And mm-hmm. you get to go, you know, talk to other people and then you get to go spend their money on stuff. And I'm all about spending other people. I do not like spending my own money on stuff, but if I can spend somebody else's money, I'm all about that.
So I delivered groceries for a living for about a year.
Which was totally your dream job, right?
Yes. Yeah. But I suppose working... I think working at a Walt Disney World merchandise location could be both much better and much worse than working as a grocery delivery person in a suburb of the city of Houston. And I worked in a relatively affluent area, but I think that you could get some really cool people. Like, I think you would probably be a fun person to personal shop for because you would be open to getting recommendations and you're just a friendly, personable guy. I think that I would probably be a good customer for that too because I also enjoy talking to people. But you also get the very entitled, I spent $5,000 on this trip kind of person. or perhaps even the kind of person who uses a personal shopper often. And those kind of people, I feel like that would make this a far worse job than, you know, delivering groceries. So I can see, I had never really considered that there were like good cast member jobs and bad cast member jobs, but
well,
I can
see.
There
are absolutely good and bad cast member jobs, buddy.
Well, I mean, they all seem like they'd be good and bad in their own ways. You know, I didn't think that they were more cushy. And I'm talking cast member as in, like, would you call it service level? You know, like, people who work attractions, people who work merchandise, not, like, actors, not, like, citizens of Hollywood or people who are fur characters and face characters and stuff like that.
So, basically, you're talking, like, quick service, food and beverage, ops, attractions.
Yeah. Ops, yes.
That level, yeah. But I think even within that level, there are more sought after jobs and less sought after jobs. That being said, yeah, even the most sought after job is going to have its downside, right?
Sure, sure.
And even the not so great jobs are going to have upsides if you are willing to look for them. I think to some extent, it's how hard you would have to look for those things. For example, you know, working at Inventions, I was really down with working at the Toontown Race or working the guest relations, you know, the tip board, things like that, where I got to really interact with guests. I was not a huge fan of working the UL Labs thing, where there was stuff banging and clanging and going off, and people really didn't want to interact with, like, strangely, not a lot of people had questions about the underwriter's laboratory certification process. They just wanted to pull the rope and let the hammer smash into the TV. They just wanted to hit the buttons and watch the lights go or watch the counters go up or whatever. And again, there was 100% fun to be had and good times to be had at that position. Just as much as there were bad times to be had when somebody, you know, was really upset and you're working the tip board and you've just become the first cast member that they've seen after they were really upset. So, yeah, both of them had ups and downs, but a lot more ups and a lot more downs, I think, depending on the position. And I guess really what you wanted to do. So I think dream job to me is more about being very guest-facing and really getting to feel like you can directly help guests, you know?
Yeah.
But I can definitely see your side of it, that cruddy guests are going to make that not such a great job. I just choose to believe that cruddy guests don't exist. I saw them all the time, but I choose to believe that they don't exist.
So to hit the other side of that coin, why do you think this is such a great thing for guests?
I think it's a great thing for guests because shopping at Disney, there are people who want to do a lot of shopping at Disney, and there are people that shopping at Disney can be overwhelming. And I know for, you know, just personally, to have somebody else to bounce idea, you know, to say, hey, you know what, my mom's favorite character is Eeyore, but she owns just about everything that is Eeyore related. And she really likes this. And to have somebody say, okay, so here's the things that you're going to want to look at, as opposed to best of luck walking through every store on property. And I know that the Shop Disney Parks app gives you some of that ability, but to have somebody else, I think it's to some extent, it's the same reason that we suggest that people use Disney travel planners, right?
Yeah.
If a Disney travel planner costs a lot of money, I don't think I would be so quick to suggest it. But anybody who asks me, I'm like, no, you need to get a Disney travel planner because they don't cost anything. And when it comes time for you to try to figure out, you know, to navigate dining reservations and fast passes and all of these sorts of things, to have someone there with some knowledge to help you through that is really nice. And so to the same extent, I feel like to have somebody to help you through those things can be really nice. And not that I would want somebody to do all my shopping, and I don't even want to step foot inside of a store, but say, for example, you wanted to get a embroidered hat, right? And you wanted a certain hat embroidered, and that hat was only available at the hat shop in Magic Kingdom, or, you know, they could have it sent over to Disney Springs, but then you're going to have to go over to Disney Springs and deal with, like, either way, you're going to have to go to one of those places to deal with that situation. Or you can ask somebody else to deal with it for you, and then you just get to go get the hat at the end. Or even, I probably just get the hat sent to your hotel room, and it just shows right up there. And you didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. Like, at most, you had to say, yeah, that's the hat I want. This is the script that I want. You know, all of those decisions that you would be making at the actual place, but not having to go to the actual place to deal with.
I guess I just don't do very much shopping on property. Every time we go to Hollywood Studios, I guess we go into all those shops on Sunset just because they're there. And you know, we usually buy a thing or two, but I don't do very much like shopping at all, let alone heavy shopping. Like I said before, I would be very open to this. You know, I would be very open to talking to someone, but I feel like I have in the past spoken to someone about a specific item and had them walk around, you know, with me to help me find that item. They've always had people floating, and I have taken advantage of that.
And I think it would also be extremely seasonal, right? Like, when I go visit in July, I probably am not going to be that concerned about having a personal, I'm never going to be that concerned about having a personal shopper. Right. I would not.
Yeah, this really, is not for me and you.
I would really not care about having a personal shopper. But if I was going right now, I think having a personal shopper would be great to have, because then I'm actually thinking about gifts, because Christmas is coming up and right. I'm at Disney. So clearly I need to get everybody Disney Christmas gifts. And again, maybe less so about go get this thing and that thing for me, even though this thing and that thing can be helpful if they're not available. And again, the Shop Disney Parks app is great, but you know, it says in store only for a lot of these items. And maybe it's not in a park that I'm actually in that day. And I don't feel like burning 2 hours of my time just to go to this other park, because I really think that this thing would work well. And again, I know that there are other ways around it, and those are the things that Brad will use as soon as the personal shopper service costs something. But also to be able to again, bounce those ideas off of and get extra suggestions. I think that could be useful. But once it costs, I won't know the difference anyway. Right.
So I just said this isn't for me and you, and now I'm thinking about who this is actually for, because I don't think it's for me and you, because we...
Oh, absolutely not. It's not for us.
Even free, we are people who, I would say, go to Walt Disney World more frequently than most. And neither of us feel like this is a thing for us. But a person who's never been, a person who will, you know, go once or twice in a lifetime, which I think is the kind of more standard, you know, Walt Disney World type thing. I guess what I'm saying is most people will vacation at the same place one or two times and then move on and go have other vacations.
Especially when a Walt Disney World vacation costs what it does. That's not saying you're rich. That's saying for those who are smart enough to realize
right.
that you can go to this other location multiple times for the cost right. of that one Disney trip. But yes, those people who aren't going to be constantly coming back and constantly coming back.
I feel like there's part of the excitement for them would be the shopping, would be going in and searching through all the different retail locations and finding these, you know, unique parks only things that they can't get anywhere else. And people, you know, and they don't know about the Disney Parks app, because obviously you can get most of the things available in the parks on the Disney Parks app. But I feel like that's part of the fun for people who haven't been very often, is kind of going through all this. So if it's not for people who go a bunch, and it's not for people who go infrequently, then who is it for?
I think it's for people who go a bunch.
Like pass holders, you think? Florida residents?
Yeah, people who are going regularly, and this is just kind of their thing, because then the novelty of shopping wears off. I think it's for those people who go, and this is totally a guess on my part, but I think
people who are going like it's a Walmart to buy Christmas gifts.
Yeah, to some extent, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe those people, but I mean, you can make the same argument about a personal shopper at any store, right? Like a personal shopper is not for everybody, but it's for people who want to have a personal shopper.
I guess so. I think the differentiation for me, at least, is a personal shopper that I have for Target and HEB and stores like that, I'm hiring. Like, that's a person who works for me. And, you know, when I worked for Shipt and delivered groceries, like, people hired me to go and get their groceries for them. And this is a person who works at Disney, who works in the store, who is a, quote, personal shopper. And I guess what I'm not understanding and why this isn't for me is I don't get any value or any additional value, I guess, from a cast member who is just roaming around the store answering questions.
Right, but I feel like but I think the difference there is you're thinking of personal shopper as in person who goes and gets groceries for you, whereas this is personal shopper like Macy's has a personal shopper, or, you know, a large department store will have a personal shopper, and that person is there to be able to tell. So, for example, if I go to Target and I say, hey, I'm looking for this shirt in blue, do you have this shirt in blue? I totally expect that employee will be able to help me with, do you have this shirt in blue?
Right.
Maybe less so, hey, what do you think here would look good on me? Like, what really fits with my body style? Hey, my mom's really into trains, and, you know, what would she like in a jacket or something? You know, like the more ethereal type of questions. I think those are the sorts of things that a personal shopper can really help with. And to your point, I do entirely expect that a Disney cast member who's working merchandising will know their store, and very possibly will even know. You know, so for example, if you're in Magic Kingdom, I expect that they're going to know everything that, you know, or at least most things that are in the Emporium. And they're also going to possibly know, you know, what's in the hat shop and other places. But I don't expect that person to know what's available at the Outpost in Animal Kingdom. I know that they know how to get that information, but they also have a million other things to do. Whereas this is someone who's devoted to that job. And so I think that's really the difference there. And again, yeah, not ever going to probably be something I use because it will cost money by the time I get there. But I can totally see how that could be extremely beneficial. So
absolutely. It strikes me more as a concierge.
Oh, yes. No, that's totally. Yeah, there you go. That's a great thing to think of. Not so much a go and get these items that I've already picked out. Concierge.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I think that's where the hang up was I, like you said, my definition of personal shopper is maybe different than this, but I think, yeah, this is more of a retail concierge.
Now you want a personal shopper, don't you? Uh-huh. You do. I know it. So Jeremy, since we have somehow managed to make the majority of our episode about personal shoppers, much to the chagrin of those listening, I think the next thing that we should cover is the thing that I really thought, oh, wow, no, that's an old story. I can skip that one, but it wasn't. The monorail screwed up again, Jeremy.
Mm.
It done screwed up bad, man. Well, No, it didn't. It didn't, because no one was harmed or hurt.
Right.
It just decided to like, It gave people extra monorail time. And really, is that even a bad? Is that even broken? It just gave them extra monorail time.
Let's just go over the history of the monorail breaking. We've had at least one, perhaps two times when doors have opened unexpectedly while the monorail was in motion. We've had an incident of a door falling off of a monorail. And this one...
Wait. There was also that piece that fell off in the Epcot parking lot, wasn't it?
Right. Yep. Yeah. Piece fell off right into the roadway.
And these are just the ones that I will almost guarantee you we are missing some, and or there are things we just haven't heard of. So
unreported. This one, I will say, is a much safer failure. Much safer short-term failure is a far more dangerous long-term failure, where the door just didn't open. And it didn't just not open for a minute. It didn't open when they wanted, or at the TTC, and then it didn't open at the Poly, and then it didn't open at the Grand Floridian, until a child screamed out the window, and a cast member finally noticed, oh, hey. The door on that back car is an opening, and came and let him out.
Yeah, and we'll link the YouTube, the 5-minute YouTube video taken from inside the car in the show notes. But essentially, it wasn't like they didn't try to let people know at the other stops either, because there are guests banging on the doors and yelling, but they were just unable to get a cast member's attention. But again, They got a little extra monorail time, and nobody fell out of a monorail.
Sure.
So, yay for that.
This is just so crazy because, like, as a monorail cast member, I feel like one of the things that you are trained to do is to look at the entire train as it's pulling into the station. When the doors open, I would expect that they are supposed to kind of do a visual check of the whole train, especially now, to make sure that the doors aren't screwing up. It's just so unbelievable that no one noticed this at two stops, because the doors open out and they don't open and then like sit flush with the monorail car or anything. Like, they open and poke out a lot, and for one whole car worth of doors to not open is going to look weird. If you are doing a visual inspection of the entire monorail car front to back, which they're not that long, you would notice if the back car doors weren't open. And I don't understand how no cast member, no one at all, went back there, walked back to the back car to look, to say, okay, this door isn't open. Is that supposed to happen? Did someone forget to tell me that this car, this back car in the monorail yellow, is under construction or is out of order or whatever? Or is it malfunctioning and there's people trapped in there? No one did that. And that to me is nuts.
So I believe that it's very likely that is definitely now a thing that's supposed to always happen. And it's possible it was a thing even when this happened. You would like to think, but not to forgive the cast members that, you know, at those other two stops that didn't notice this. But that car was full, and so that makes me wonder if all the other cars were full. And if you've ever been on the monorail, like right after a park closes or something like that, it's wild the number of people who are getting off of the, you know, monorail car, and the cast member is moving the ramp around to get all the ECVs off and all of those sorts of things. So while I'm not saying that it makes it okay, I can see how a car door being closed would get missed. And if, you know, there's enough noise of people walking around, how you wouldn't even maybe hear somebody banging on a door. Though I sure would hope another guest would hear somebody banging on a door.
I am absolutely not surprised that no one heard. I think hearing is not even in the contemporary. It's so loud around the monorail that I am totally not surprised that nobody heard. But even to your point, do your inspection as the doors are closing. Look when there's no one on the platform, when everyone is in a monorail, in the car. Look real quick. Make sure all the doors are open. Just do an inspection for something that's weird. Not even looking for, are the doors messed up? Just anomalies. If
right,
you
because
are looking,
this is this was the resort monorail. So yeah. To look, and at no point is a car empty, but yes, you could have looked and seen that every door is open except for those doors. That seems like a problem.
Yeah. And at that point, take 5 seconds and walk back there and just make sure. And then you see people banging on the door and you go, okay, lock it down. We have an issue. So I can't believe they made it 2 stops.
See, all of that, yes, is mind-boggling. The part that is mind-boggling and perhaps more concerning to me is the part on the video where they're trying to, where it sure looks like they're trying to use the emergency phone and that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like that is the one, like, I can look and see how a cast member can miss a door not opening. I can see how a cast member might not hear people banging on a car door. I don't see how the emergency phone doesn't work.
Yeah, where is that trying to call out to?
Yeah, and wherever it is, why is it not hooked up to call out to that, you know?
So. At the very least, that should call the cockpit. That should call the driver. At the very least, if you want to make a system where you can't have, like, uh-oh, the phone was out, you hardwire that phone to the driver.
And who's to say that it wasn't at one point in the, I don't know, dude.
That part is inexcusable that the emergency phone didn't work. That part is legally inexcusable.
Yeah, I love the monorails. I love the monorails.
When the door popped open the first time and the people were coming into the Epcot stop and the door opened early and the guy leaned out and was like waving at the cast member like, hey, the door's open. And that was funny. You know, like, ha ha, the door opened early. Ha, you know, the guy opened the wave. The cast member was probably shocked. There was a time when the door wouldn't shut. Like the door was trying to shut and it would look like it was closed and pop back open. And then it would look like it was closed and it would pop back open. And the cast member was like banging on it to try to get it to close. It's funny. Like, ha, yeah, so the thing's junky. Some latch wasn't closed, whatever. When the door fell off. That's hilarious. Like,
because it did it at a stop.
Yes, absolutely. When the door fell off because the ECV ran into it, it's like, good Lord, the monorails have a problem. You know, doors are now falling off. Something is wrong. This is where you go from, oh, the monorails are getting pretty old, huh? To the monorails need to be fixed or replaced. Because doors, like, pieces are starting to fall off. And not just like, oh, a little piece from the bottom fell off. This is a door. It's so ridiculous. It's funny. Trapping people on the monorail and the emergency phone not working is not funny. It's frightening. And is completely unacceptable. And it makes the times when the doors open, like, it makes all the past things that I found funny, not funny anymore. Because it's starting to feel like Disney does not care about the monorails. And I don't blame them. I think the monorails are probably a very expensive, very maintenance heavy thing at this point because they're so old, but like you can't let that be an excuse. And these monorails, like you said, when a park closes, when the Magic Kingdom closes, it is so miserably full on that resort monorail. And honestly, like any in Epcot too, but in Magic Kingdom especially, when that park closes, it is the line to get on the monorail is a mile long. And it is so miserably full. It's like trying to ride the bus after the Magic Kingdom closes. It's so miserable.
Anything to try to get out of the Magic Kingdom after it closes is pretty miserable.
But. Yeah, it is. But you better believe if a bus door didn't let people out, or if a bus door just opened while the bus was running, that bus would be taken out of rotation. It would be repaired and tested and put back. And if we had 5 bus incidents in a year or two, it would be crazy. This would never happen to the buses. But this weird stuff keeps happening to the monorails. This is why last week I said Disney is going to phase the monorails out in favor of the Skyliner if the Skyliner is popular. Because they just don't seem to care. Like, I am a person who is outside the Walt Disney Company. I love Walt Disney World. I go there as often as I possibly can. I don't know what I'm supposed to think. This company does not care about the monorails of this park. I don't understand at all how this could keep happening.
Yeah, to some extent, I think they care, but they care not enough to spend the money, right?
Yeah, they keep band-aiding, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I think that the bubblegum and baling wire are running out. And that this just, yeah, it's... The days have got to be numbered. The days have got to be numbered. And I really hope that it's not the days are numbered for the monorail overall. Though I could totally see how that could be a possibility.
Because if this keeps happening while they're moving, like if... A person would die if they fell out of that thing while it was moving.
Yeah, and now we know why. But at the same time, that wouldn't be the first time that, you know, the monorails have caused that, you know, like...
Yeah, the Walt Disney World ones, what, in the 90s, collided and killed someone that was riding up front?
Yeah, so it's not... It has happened, but that was more about... That was not because the monorails were falling apart. This stuff is all because the monorails are falling apart.
And I don't mean to say like I don't think Disney cares about people dying. It's just like at some point, safety. Like this is safety. This is not like, oh man, the Spaceship Earth is dirty, or Space Mountain, you know, like the paint is coming off. This is safety. They would not run a roller coaster if the restraints didn't work. And it's just, I don't understand how time and time again, these safety issues keep on happening. Sorry, I'm done. I will quit harping on that. But, oh God, it's just, it makes me mad, you know, to think like, it's just a crazy thing that this transportation method keeps having all these issues.
And there has to be a fix out there. And Disney has to know what that fix is. And if that fix is new monorail cars, then Disney needs to ante up for new monorail cars. Or
let's get the monorails from Disneyland.
Or the fix needs to be that I love the monorails, or the fix needs to be that there are no monorails for, you know, however long it takes to get new monorails, because this definitely doesn't seem like it's getting any better. So,
yeah. It's frustrating.
It is.
Especially, like, I love the monorails. I remember vividly the first time I rode the monorail. It was incredible. And it scared me to death when we entered the Contemporary. Because I was like, there's no way this goes inside that building. And I kept on, like, I was watching the building come up, you know, like, peering out the window. I was like, we're going to go. We can't, like, there's no way we can go in there. And I mean, it was crazy. Like, it was the, it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, was riding on the monorail. Because one, you look out the window and there's nothing. You're floating. Because unless you're looking out the very front or the very back, there's no track. You know, there is no rail. And so if you're just looking out over Bay Lake or over the freeway when you're going to Epcot or whatever, like, there's just nothing there. It's so cool. It still feels futuristic. Like, it still feels magical to be riding on that monorail and look out the window and see nothing. And, like, when you bank into turns, it feels super cool. And I love it. And it still amazes me that the Contemporary Resort has four gigantic holes in it that a train full of people, however, hundreds of times per day, careens through that hotel. It is amazing. And I don't want it to go away. I don't want the monorails to go away because it is so cool. The buses are necessary. They absolutely need twice as many buses as they have right now. That is a utilitarian, people-eating, people-mover. Like, they need buses. The friendship boats and the paddle boat, like, they are the ferry boat. They need those things. The ferry boat's cool, but I mean, it's utilitarian. It's a way to get people from point A to point B. The monorail is its own thing, is a magical thing. And I said, you know, when we were talking about when I got back from Disneyland and I got to ride up in the cockpit, that was an attraction. I had so much fun riding that monorail around. I rode it from Nemo to Nemo. Got to ride up front, and it was an attraction in and of itself, and I loved it. And every time, like, Claire and I have just ridden the resort track around for fun before we go back, you know, to our hotel or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. Why? I mean, why wouldn't you? I try to make sure that's a part of every trip. And most of the time, I'm not staying anywhere that's on the monorail track, nor right. do I have any need to go to the TTC.
Right. And so this is why it pains me so much and why it makes me angry that this stuff keeps happening. I care about this. I want this to be. If Splash Mountain was constantly closed because restraints weren't working, or, you know, log flume parts kept falling off or whatever, if Tower of Terror was constantly closed because the elevator wouldn't align correctly with the elevator shaft, like, stuff like that, safety stuff that would make it unsafe for the ride to work. If they kept having all these issues, it would make me angry because I love these things. I'm not mad because I hate the monorail. I'm not mad because I don't want the monorail to be a thing. I'm mad because I want very badly for the monorail to be a thing. If I could go anywhere on the monorail, if the monorail connected every resort and every park, I would never touch a bus. I would wait twice as long to take the monorail places. And if the Skyliner's cool, I'll wait twice as long to take the Skyliner places. At Disney, I am not in a hurry. I am not looking for the fastest, dumbest way to get somewhere. I'm looking for the coolest, funnest way to get somewhere. And I would wait way longer to take a monorail from my resort to Hollywood Studios if I could. And I just feel like with every one of these weird issues that my wonderful, magical monorail at Walt Disney World gets one step closer to the point where Imagineering says, we can't do this anymore. And they close. And whether they close temporarily or permanently, the fact that that wouldn't be an option for me or anyone, it breaks my heart. I don't want it to get to that. I don't want it to come to that. I want the monorail to be a thing. I want it to be open forever.
Yeah. We all do, but at the same time, that something has to change for that to be the case.
Yeah. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.